Oh, there's a blessing for me. It's a big blessing for me to be again here with you. And as you know, I had another trip to Costa Rica with Pastor Paul. And I feel the need to share this with you because you're kind of part of this. You've been praying for us. And so if you can keep us in your prayers, because we are having two families coming from Costa Rica so they can get trained in theology, so they can go back to the mission field and be able to share the gospel more effectively. So if you can be praying just for them, for safe travels, and that the Lord can use what they learn here for His glory in Central America. We're going to study today. We're going to go through Ephesians again. We still in Ephesians 5. And we're going to read the text. And after we read it, I'm going to pray. And we're going to start the time of this this sermon. And it's going to be Ephesians 5 from 8 through 14. And I'm going to read a New King James Version. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you can speak to our hearts this afternoon, and that we can wake up, Lord. If we are sleeping spiritually, I pray that you can use this time for us to be able to be aware of your word and everything you have to tell us, Lord. And I pray that you can give us strength and the ability to walk according to your word, Lord. Thank you so much. We bless you. Amen. So we are now in Ephesians 5. And last week, Eric, when he was preaching, he gave us a list of things that the believer should avoid. And in the text says that all those things that he listed are things that are, they have no place in the church. So he's telling us that those things, they don't belong to the church, and we as believers should avoid those things. And then he says that for everyone who practices such things, there is no inheritance. And Paul says the same in Galatians when he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And he will list also things that the believer must avoid because they have no part in the lives of the new and the lives of the new believers. And today, what we just read, Paul is reminding us of who we were. And we're going to go verse by verse so we can have an idea what he's talking about here. And he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Just as he says in chapter 2, he says that we were dead in our sins. He's reminding us here who we were. We were darkness. And it's important to notice that he's not saying that we were in darkness, but he says that we were darkness. And that's a very strong word, especially for many people who believe that they... What I want to say with this is there's many people who cannot draw a line between their former life and their lives today. There are many people that they think that they have been in church for generations, or they grew up in the church. They belong to God. But if somebody cannot draw a line between the former life and today, I think they need to think about it, about their relationship with Christ. Because we should be able to recognize who we were before Christ. And it's important, because when we do this relationship between light and darkness, we always think that darkness is evil. But the relationship with darkness and evil, the relationship is because sin likes to hide in darkness. So that's why people, they don't like to expose their lives. They don't like to be exposed when they're struggling with something, because it's shameful. So we know that sin hates being exposed. I want us to go to John 3:19, just to see what John is telling us. John talks a lot about the light. And we're going to read 3:19, and I'll go to 21. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. He does not come to the light, lest his deed should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clear, seen that they have been done in God." Notice in verse 21 that says that he who does the truth. If you remember when we were reading Ephesians in the beginning, chapter 1 through 2, we said that Paul is telling us the things that we should believe as Christians. And now we are in a section where he's telling us how to live as believers. And it's interesting that he says, he who does the truth, that means to be active, an active living, practicing the truth, not just only have the knowledge. And Paul already gave us the knowledge of what we should believe as Christians. And now he's telling us the way we have to behave. And then, let's go back to Ephesians. And says, "You are light. Walk as children of light." And I think this is a lot like walking to a dark room. When you go to a dark room for the first time and you turn on the light, first of all, your eyes have to adjust to the light. But then what you see at first might be the bigger things that are in the room. You might see a couch, a table. And when we become believers and God shines his light on us, we are able to see those things. Like an example of that is we start recognizing the Ten Commandments, and we can see the things that we shouldn't practice and the things that are in our hearts that shouldn't be there. But the more you pay attention what the light has exposed, you probably are able to see in that room stains in the couch. You can see dust. You can see other things on the floor. And it's the same in the life of the believer. The longer you spend time in scriptures, it brings light to your life. And you can see those little things that are in the way between your relationship with Christ. And not just with your relationship with Christ, but with the congregation, with your brothers. And he's going to talk about it in a minute here. Because our relationship with God is pretty much what we reflect with our brothers is our relationship with Christ. We cannot say that we have a relationship with God when we cannot love our brothers. We can see every day and be with them every day. And that's what John says. If you want, let's go read John. First John. 1 John 1, and we'll go to... We're going to read from 5 to 7. Okay, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So as you can see here, John is telling us that if we're walking in light, we're going to have a good relationship with our brothers. That's a sign, it's a fruit of being in the light. So I want to share this, and I actually have permission to share this because it's part of my wife's testimony. She grew up in Georgia, and as far as I've been enough in the States that I can see little things, learn things about Georgia, and everybody likes Jesus there. You'll see people wearing shirts that said, "Jesus loves you, bro," or you'll see people going to a bar with a hat that just makes a reference to a Bible verse, and everybody there claims to be a Christian. Maybe not everybody, but the majority, they in the South, they say we're Christians. And I heard somebody say once that God doesn't have grandchildren, but he has sons. And a lot of people, they believe that they can be grandchildren. God can have, but the truth is, you cannot be saved by the faith of your parents. You have to become saved because it's a personal decision. God has to work in your heart. But she tells her story, it's very interesting for me because she says that when she was about 17, she started feeling convicted of her life. And she was going to church and she will go to Bible studies and maybe she will be struggling with something and she will share with people and people will tell her, it's okay, God loves you, just keep coming to the church. But that wasn't enough for her. She kept having struggles of her beliefs and the way she was living. And one day, a lady, her name is Patty, she asked her, "Do you want to be discipled?" And she said that she thought that that word was weird for her. But she said yes. And this lady started just teaching her the Bible and meeting with her in coffee shops and just trying to be with her most of the time. And suddenly this lady started asking her, "So what did you do last night? Did you go to the party? Did you drink in the party? Is that this guy that you're dating, is he a believer?" And those questions were very uncomfortable for her. But she was noticing that those were the things that she was missing in the community of the church. Somebody who could speak truth to her. And she said at first it felt harsh. Because the truth, it can be heavy for some people. But I think in many churches, we're going to keep reading here so I can give you more clarity on what I want to say here. But a lot of people, they have confused love with tolerance. And I think that we can see that right now with what is going on with the government. People would accept things that are against God's word because they don't want to offend anybody. And for example, you think about abortion, you think about same-sex marriage, all these things. People, a lot of people, they're becoming tolerant to it. But we as believers, the Bible is calling us to expose those things. We cannot be hiding those things, or because at the end, that's no love. When somebody accepts somebody else's sin, thinking, God, who am I to judge you? You know, God loves you. That's not loving, because what we're doing is we're just applauding somebody who's going to destruction. If they die without Christ, we had a chance to share the gospel with these people. And it says here, so walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, in righteousness and truth. When we try to get fruit by our own, we become legalistic. Because if the fruits are not, somebody can come to church and be able to imitate somebody else's way of living. You have a saying, monkey see, monkey do, I think. Somebody can come to church and learn a behavior, and he can just modify his behavior without actually having fruits of the Spirit. And one day, many people can hold a lifestyle for so long, but at the end, all those things are going to come to the light. And Jesus told the Pharisees that they were just tombs painted in white, because they learned to show an image that they were good, but their deeds were not good at all. And when we try to just learn a behavior and we don't let the Holy Spirit to change our heart through His Word, we're just going to be legalistic, because that's going to become tiring, and you won't be able to maintain the lifestyle for too long. And somebody made a study, and to me, I don't know if I said this before, but it was very interesting for me. And there were some psychologists trying to see how the kids behaved in a fenced environment. So they built parks, and they had two groups of kids. They had a group of kids with no boundaries, and then they had kids with boundaries. And they noticed that the kids that they had no boundaries, they just stayed in the same place. They didn't move. They were playing all together. But the other kids that they had boundaries, they were running all over the place, and they felt freedom because they were able to recognize those boundaries, because they felt safe. And that's what God has done with the scriptures to us. He has given us boundaries so we can be free. Those boundaries will keep us safe. And that's what Paul says in Galatians. He says that when he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, he says at the end that for those fruits there is no law. It's because you can be free. You know that you are living in righteousness. And that's very important for us to understand. Because sometimes when we see rules, especially new believers, when they see rules, they think, I'm not talking about legalistic rules, but what God has told us to walk in, like the truth. A lot of people, they cannot understand the freedom we have to know that God is protecting us. And let's keep going here to verse 10. It says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, the only way that we can find what is acceptable to the Lord, Peter tells us that it's through trials. And it's because that's going to show where your faith is. We can read that. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, 5 through 11. I'm going to start from 1 Peter 1, and I'll go from 6. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though not now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's stop there. But if you see there, it says that the testing by fire is what is, it's going to be found as honoring God. Because that's our lives is a reflection of our theology. Whatever you believe of God is what you show to the world. If you have a bad theology, you're going to show that very quick. And this is pretty much what Peter is telling us. That's the way we find out what are those things that please God. Whenever you are in trials, where do you go? Do you go to your own abilities to solve things? Do you go to the Lord first? You go to anger first, or things that you might feel like... Because sometimes we're trying to just looking for ways to justify something. But if we believe that God is in control, we should go to God first before we start things on our own. And God will give us the answers for everything. And then he says in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." As I was telling you, legalism is just a way to have fake fruits. And that's just going to make you tired. It's going to burn you out as a believer. You won't be able to live a free life in Christ. And our behavior, sometimes, in my case, I've been a missionary for... I was a missionary for a few years, and I had to learn things in the hard way because I thought I was doing things to please God sometimes, because when you are in the mission field, you feel like you have to do justice, you have to do many things. You see poverty, you want to solve those things. You see people hurting, you want to solve those things. And I was doing those things out of legalism, because I thought, I'm a Christian and I should be helping people. And I went to the side of the justice more than to the side of Christ. Because we could bring people many things to help their lives, improve their lives. But if at the end we're not sharing the gospel with these people, we're not doing anything. And then, let me see here. I'm going to go back to Ephesians. And it says, "For it is shameful even to speak those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." I think that sentence there, it's kind of confusing to read it. But what he's trying to say is that light is what exposes all those things. Light is what has the power to expose all those things. I want to give you two images, and I won't give you the context of it, and I want you to think about it and make your conclusion. Later I'll give you the the whole picture. Imagine somebody just walking down the street, and somebody's just pushing this person very harshly. And then you have somebody else handing a glass of water to another person. With no context, you will think that the person giving the glass of water, it's been kind, and the other one pushing, it's been rude or violent. But if you see the whole picture, imagine this person, he's walking down the street with headphones, and there is a car behind him, and somebody just pushed him out of the way. And then the other person is just a person in a restaurant, and he's just serving a glass of water. So now when you see the whole picture, the person who was pushing the other one is being more kind than the other one, because he's just giving a glass of water, because he just works there. He's not trying to be nice to the person. And the gospel is pretty much like that. Sometimes it will seem a little harsh for some people when you try to help them. And there is a verse that is very powerful that I want to read it for you in Jude 22, 22. Let's see. It says here. It's going to read it here. It says, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." Paul finished this section in Ephesians calling us to wake up. And there are many believers who are spiritually sleeping. When we read this, verse 14, it says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." He's not talking here to sinners, to dead people. When I use the word sinners, I meant to say non-believers. But he's talking here to the church. And when he's saying, arise from the dead, it seems something impossible to do for somebody who's dead without Christ being already given you life. But he's telling to the church, arise from the dead. Some people think that this was a poem that he's reciting there, a very famous poem during that time. And he's just reciting and saying, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." I grew up in a place where when you went to church, many pastors will do an altar call. And I remember many pastors will say, "Everybody, please close your eyes, because we're going to do an altar call." And I remember everybody closing their eyes. And he will say, "We don't want to embarrass anybody, but who wants to receive Christ?" And I thought, well, if you're embarrassed to receive Christ in public, what kind of life are you going to live in public? And many Christians have been sleeping. They're believers. They have the Holy Spirit. But just as Jude is telling us to snatch people from the fire, sometimes we need to encourage our brothers that way. When Paul talks about encouragement in the Bible, he's not talking about nice words as we know in our current world. When he talks about encouragement, sometimes it means in Greek, sometimes it'll mean as a push. To push somebody or help somebody to do something. And maybe you know somebody in your family, you know somebody in church that needs a little push. And I just want to encourage you to pray and just walk along your brothers and sisters. Because this is what the Lord has called us to do, to be a community that shines light to a world that is pretty much in darkness right now. Everything we see, we're living in darkness. And when people sees the church, many people will see hope. And you have words that the world don't have for them. And you can be a light for others. And it's impossible that people won't see this church when they drive here. And just as people notice this church, people notice you wherever you go. And they notice me. They notice my family. They know how I treat my family. They can see how I treat my kids. They can see how I treat my wife. And we have to be a light today, tomorrow, 24 hours, every day. And I want to encourage you to pray. If you are struggling with something, look for somebody that can shine light on those problems. Because it's the only way you can be free. You can be free of whatever you're going through. God uses the church to help us grow. And we're going to celebrate communion today. And I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but if somebody's going to help, we can do it now. This is a moment for us to, well, we're glorifying God through this. We are doing something that we do out of obedience, and we know that God gave His Son, and as far as we know, Jesus gave Himself. Many people think that He was crucified by Rome, but the truth is, He gave Himself, and He did it for us to have salvation. And we're going to celebrate this time, and I'm just going to read, and we eat the bread. It says, "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take it, eat it, this is My body, which is broken for you.'" Let's eat. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Let's drink. Lord, thank You so much for the blessing that we have to be here together, Lord, and knowing that we are in You, and that we are sons and daughters of the living God. And I just want to pray, Lord, that You can give us understanding more and more of Your word, and be able, Lord, to glorify You every day with our lives, and be light in the middle of this darkness that we're living, Lord. And thank You for this church, and I pray that You will bring people to this place, Lord, to be able to glorify You and celebrate with us Your salvation, Lord. Amen. I'm going to sing one more song.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. by day, I know He will be giving me, until I stand with joy before the throne. Yes, I hope, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,